She asked if we was going to play the high school that night, and she told me she had a brother play tailback for them. We talked a piece about football and the like, and I noticed how her face looked blurred, like there was a mist between me and her. It was the cotton fluff sifting from the air. I told her about the fluff. She rolled her eyes and ducked her mouth to laugh in her fist when I told her how it was like looking at her face out on a misty morning duck hunting. And she said, "Now what in the ever-loving world would you want with me out alone in a duck blind?" I told her she could take care of my gun, and the girls all over the mill went giggling in their fists. I laughed a little myself, seeing how clever I'd been. We were still talking and laughing when she grabbed both my wrists and dug in. The features of her face snapped into brilliant focus. I saw she was terrified of something. "Do," she said to me in a whisper, "do take me, big boy, out of this here mill, out of this town, out of this life. Take me to some old duck blind someplace, someplace else. Huh, big boy, huh?" Her dark, pretty face glittered there in front of me. I stood with my mouth open, trying to think of some way to answer her. We were locked together this way for maybe a couple of seconds. Then the sound of the mill jumped a hitch, and something commenced to draw her back away from me. A string somewhere I didn't see hooked on that flowered red skirt and was tugging her back. Her fingernails peeled down my hands, and as soon as she broke contact with me, her face switched out of focus again, became soft and runny like melting chocolate behind that blowing fog of cotton. She laughed and spun around and gave me a look of her yellow leg when the skirt billowed out. She threw me a wink over her shoulder as she ran back to her machine, where a pile of fiber was spilling off the table to the floor. She grabbed it up and ran feather-footed down the aisle of machines to dump the fiber in a hopper. Then she was out of sight around the corner. All those spindles reeling and wheeling and shuttles jumping around and bobbins ringing the air with string, whitewashed walls and steel-gray machines and girls in flowered skirts skipping back and forth, and the whole thing webbed with flowing white lines stringing the factory together. It all stuck with me, and every once in a while something on the ward calls it to mind. Yes, this is what I know. The ward is a factory for the combine. It's for fixing up mistakes made in the neighborhoods and in the schools and in the churches, the hospital is. When a completed product goes back out into society, all fixed up good as new, better than new sometimes, it brings joy to the big nurse's heart. Something that came in all twisted different is now a functioning, adjusted component, a credit to the whole outfit, and a marvel to behold. Watch him sliding across the land with a welded grin, fitting into some nice little neighborhood where they're just now digging trenches along the street to lay pipes for city water. He's happy with it. He's adjusted to surroundings, finally. This book is continued on Disc 2.